Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello there and welcome to New Life Live. We're really glad you're with us here today. Joining me, Chris Williams.
Hey, good to be here.
Alice Benton is with me.
Hi, gentlemen.
And we're glad you're with us. And if you want to join us on this here particular program, it is this, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I have been told to talk about life recovery. I was just sent this amazing video of all these folks that went to prison, got a life recovery Bible, turned their life around. And, you know, here's the thing. You don't even have to be in prison to benefit from the life recovery Bible. But it's more than just a Bible. It's a whole set of resources. You know, we have a thing called the Life Recovery Journey. Not journal, but journey. And what that is, four really intense Bible studies on each step. And, oh, they're so good. Dave Stoop did those Bible studies. So, they're really, really good. And then we have the 12 laws of life recovery and the 12 gifts of life recovery. Five workbooks, a journal, a devotional book, and the Bible itself, which has sold over 3 million copies. And here's what's so cool. You could decide, I've tried everything on my own, and I realize I have an extreme limitation. I will never be able to do anything in this area of dependency or addiction. I need some help. And all you have to do is call and get two Bibles. I would say two Bibles and two workbooks, and then ask somebody to go through it with you. Now you have a group. Two people make a group. Some people say it would have to be three. No, it's just two. And so you do it together. Now you've got encouragement, and you've got somebody to be accountable to, and you're growing together. If what you've tried has not worked, whatever program you're on, everybody needs a growth program, and the 12 steps are a great one. You can have 2 steps or 8 steps or 20. We think these 12s are really good, and you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I was told to do that. But if you want to join us on the program, here's the number you call right now, 1-800-229-3000. Chris, one of the things that we have is a life recovery workbook that is all about sexual integrity, using the 12 steps to work a program for sexual integrity. And every guy that's ever struggled in this area, you can't just stop something. Mm. You have to start something good, and this is a good thing to start.
And what's so helpful about that is we need a plan. We can't get out of these things without help along the way. And there's two things. One thing is that we need the light. You can't heal or change what you can't see, and addiction lives in the darkness of denial. So we've got to get it out there. That's why it's important to do it with another person. But this is hard and complex stuff, so we need guides who have gone down this road before to lead us, something to do step by step along the way, and that's where the workbook becomes absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, I really, it's just a great guide. The 12 steps are a great path. The workbooks help you get into it to work them, not just know them. And so you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, we send you this little transformation kit. If you join Club New Life for $30 a month, you get a Bible, and you get a journal, and the 5 workbooks. And the 5 workbooks, one for everything. There's another one on sexual integrity, divorce, eating disorder, and the one I went through on Facebook Live, grief. Right now, 5 o'clock, you can join us for Facebook Live. Doing them every day, 5 Eastern time. You can then, if you don't see it, then you watch it on YouTube later. But I love getting to do that and can't imagine that ever stopping. All right, we'll take a break. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to come back and go to Phil's phone call. So, Phil, you hang on there during this break. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Williams and Alice Benton. We're going to talk to Phil, and if you want to talk to us after Phil talks with us, all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and I'm almost certain that we're on Facebook Live. Now, I think we were booted off yesterday because something came on. Plug, but I think we're there today. Right now, let's talk with Phil from Stockton, California. Hi there. How are you, Phil?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on? I see that you watched, listen from SiriusXM. What's happening with you today?
Yes, I do. Okay, I got a question on how to deal and set proper boundaries with my son-in-law who's living with us.
Okay. Why is he living with you? Just curious.
Well, honestly, my wife came up with this plan for her daughter, so it's my stepdaughter, and him to move in with us and just kind of be all live together and help with the expenses. That's the way this started.
Uh-huh.
So okay, the other so day we what? Had a bad episode.
Well, what's the boundary issue? What's the problem here? Usually these things work out with no conflict whatsoever. It usually just goes so well when these plans are devised. Yeah.
So the kids got into a fight the other day.
What kids?
And he got...
What kids?
My stepdaughter and my son-in-law. They got into an argument that turned in kind of to a fight.
Okay.
And I was home that day. I was home that day when it happened, and when he left, he tore up the bedroom and he cut up the bed, and then he left and didn't tell us anything, and then he began to text my wife some really hurtful things.
Okay. What did you do after you kicked him out and said you can never come back here again? What did you do after that?
Well, that was my position, Steve, but I'm a truck driver. I'm gone now. So what I found out yesterday is he's coming back to the house every day. I don't know if he's going inside the house, but he's not allowed to stay overnight there, supposedly not allowed to come in the house. And the boundary was that he couldn't come back until he got help. That was my wife's boundary, and I supported that. But now
so
it seems it's then, a little
then
different.
So then he didn't get help. Well, it seems like to me, truck driver or not, it's your house, and he violated those rules and then new rules. So what's the question for us? What is the big question at hand?
I guess the thing that's really bothering me is I don't know how to kick him out and not kick her out.
Oh, I think you just kick him out. And then she has a decision as to whether or not she wants to leave and go be with an abusive man. He has a decision, like if she decides to stay until he gets help, she has a decision, and then he has a decision. But it seems like to me you don't have but one decision, and that is to do the right thing, hold him accountable, make him responsible for doing a really immature, stupid, abusive thing to the home and then also to your wife. I just don't understand why it's such a mystery. Let me go to Chris. What are you thinking here, Chris, in a situation like this?
So, Phil, is your wife holding the boundary?
My wife, I think, is softening the boundary.
Okay.
She let him come back in the house, but not spend the night, right?
Yeah, because I think that needs to be the first critical conversation. Because dangerous people, and it sounds like a guy who is willing to tear up somebody else's property, especially where they're living, that puts themselves and other people at danger, is fundamentally a dangerous person. So this needs again drastic measures, and now there's a critical conversation with your wife, because dangerous people that are out of control, one thing they love to do, by the way, is they love to always play the victim card. And you can't take it, meaning that you don't want to hold, you know, it's like, oh, woe is me. Well, yeah, woe is you, because you literally destroyed the bed you're trying to lay in. So you can't do that anymore.
Right.
So it's circling back with your wife, because these are the people that go after the weakest link in the boundary, the weakest area. And they'll break that down and break that down. And so she needs to hold the boundary. You need to support her in holding the boundary. And as Steve said, the daughter-in-law, your stepdaughter, then has a decision to make once he is, again, persona non grata in your house because of his destructive nature. And I want to land it here, because this is really, really important with boundaries. The purpose of a boundary is to protect that which is valuable. When you let a dangerous thing into an area that destroys something valuable, then you devalue the value. Does that make sense? So you're saying the safety of our... let me make this clear. The safety of our home is invaluable, and we will not let that be that boundary be crossed. Because it speaks to your value, and that's what needs to be protected.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and also... The combination of destruction of property. I would just say the combination of destruction of property, mm-hmm. along with disrespect of a person, your wife, deadly combination.
Yeah.
You just don't know when property becomes personal in the destructive part. So that's why you have to take measures before it escalates to somebody getting hit, shot, pushed, shoved, whatever. So you be the man and you say, honey, I love you, I care, I want to partner with you. I understand how you feel about this, but I've got to step in here. We're going to tell him to not set foot on this property. If he does, we will issue a restraining order. Because he's destroyed things, cut up the bed, disrespected you. We don't have to wait till he hits, shoots, or pushes or shoves one of us through a window. We're going to act now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Steve. And I tried to have this conversation yesterday with my wife, and it went really bad, to be honest.
Of course it went badly, because she's emotionally... trying to figure out how to make nice with her, your daughter, and the daughter doesn't have to leave and all that. So this is one of those cases where you have to do the right thing. It's not overreacting by saying he must not be allowed on the property, because we have to protect you and we have to protect our daughter. And so when it's in your home, you protect your daughter. She can choose to leave your home, but I would welcome her to stay as long as possible, and I would say we're doing this not to hurt him, but to motivate him to the max to get the help that he needs. Okay?
Yes.
Honey, do you think I'm trying to be mean to him, or I'm trying to increase the pressure for him to get help while we're protecting ourselves? Your motive has to be pure, and it is pure if you're trying to protect her and push him toward getting help. Okay?
And Phil, in order to safeguard your relationship with your wife and daughter as much as possible, you can acknowledge that this is really tough and it puts them in a position of having to choose sides, but that you will maintain the protection of the home. Although you're willing to hear their opinion, hear their feelings, but at the end of the day, you've made the decision to protect your home. And hearing out their heart and their feelings in this will give you the best probability of keeping connection with them, if you'll be willing to listen to them too.
All right, so I'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think that'll help you there. Because, look, we have to be in a place, and this is what's in Take Your Life Back, we have to be in a place where we are defending our value. We have to believe that we have value and the people around us have value that need defending, you know, and if not, we have no you said the right word, a boundary issue when you call. And the boundary that you need to set here is very appropriate, and it's your property. He shouldn't be on it. He violated the privilege. And as I sarcastically was saying to begin with, these situations don't actually ever usually work out very well. And thanks for being a trucker there, Phil. I'm grateful for that. In fact, because you are a trucker and keeping the supply chain going, let me send you another thing called Every Man's Bible. And it's the best-selling study Bible for men. And if you need a great Father's Day gift, I would be calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ordering that right up. All right, let's go to Cece. Mobile, Alabama, WBHY is the station. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Excellent. What's going on?
What's going on is I've been in and out of addiction for a very long time. And I kind of got distance from my children, my daughter mainly. I have one daughter and two sons. And I've tried everything. I've been clean for a year. And I moved from up north down here with her to help her. And she just doesn't accept me. No matter what I do or what I try to do, we can't have a relationship like her daughter and her. I pray for a relationship with my daughter.
Yeah.
But it seems like I owe her. No matter what I do, I owe her.
And how old is she?
I need help.
How old is she?
32.
She's 32.
I'm 59. She's 32.
Okay.
I'm 59.
How long have you been clean, actually? You say it's about a year. How long have you been clean?
I picked up 3 months ago.
3 months ago.
So,
okay. So, yeah. So when you say in and out of addiction, that's not true. You are in addiction, and you're not in recovery. So let me ask you this. In the past week, what did you do as far as a recovery program goes? What were you involved with in the past 7 days?
Church. Go to prayer meeting.
Uh-huh.
And I talk to the pastor. I read my Bible and I listen to your show.
So when you say you've tried everything, that's not true either, is it?
Well, no. I'm around some people that
So what we got to do here is we've got to establish the number one priority foundation of any recovery program, no matter what it is. And you know what that is?
I'm listening.
Honesty. That's where we got to start.
That's why I called your show.
We got to start. Okay. Because 1 year isn't even close to 3 months. And if I were your daughter...
5 years clean. Okay.
Okay. But if I was your daughter, I wouldn't... Not only would I not be close to you, because I'd be afraid every time I got close and you're going to mess up and now I'm going to be hurt again, I wouldn't want my daughter to be close to you either, because you're going to hurt her.
Okay. Oh, you make me feel so much better. I feel so much better because I couldn't understand why. What was the problem? But I understand even better now.
Hey, Cece. Cece, hold on. Let me jump in. Cece, this is going to sound really weird, but I don't want you to feel better right now. I want you to feel the sorrow of that loss, not because I want you to feel sorrow, but because... I want you to get into recovery. This is a daily battle. For those of us who have struggled with this and it has just won every time, we have to make a decision. And that decision is that we are powerless against this. All the prayer meetings in the world are helpful, but what is most helpful, what will actually do it, is getting in front of other people who struggle with your addiction And as Steve said, where you can tell the most honest version of what you're experiencing in that day and have a plan and process to get out of it, which is usually a 12-step process.
So, I've been to 17 programs, so I know all about it.
Okay, good. Well, we've got to go to a break, so we'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arden here. We're talking with Cece, and I really want to help Cece because, Cece, if you have attended 17 different programs, you have never been closer to recovery than you are now. And one of the amazing things that happens at some point in a person's life is they realize, I have an extreme limitation. And all the stuff that I've been doing will never, ever make it better. I can't control. The drug never works. And, you know, you reach a point where you say, I think it's time for me to go from wanting something that makes me feel good to wanting connection with a daughter, granddaughter, and other people, and God makes me feel good about myself. Big difference in feeling good and feeling good about myself long term. So let us tell you exactly what we think would help you never have to call this program again.
Okay, so Cece, first thing, I want you to stop taking the cure, meaning that you think that you're all good and better and you don't have to be engaged in your recovery. So get back into your 12-step recovery program on a daily basis. But there is something underneath the surface that is driving your pain to use. You need to get into counseling. You need to get into somebody that understands the relationship with addiction and trauma and start getting underneath the hood and really looking at what is driving your use as you're getting stability in your sobriety through your 12-step program. Commit to those things. And as Steve said, you won't have to call again.
And then, Cece, I think you confess to God and to your daughter that you've blamed your daughter for lack of relationship, but really you haven't been safe to be in relationship with because you've been in and out of sobriety. I think you tend to exaggerate your clean time that you have, and it's hard to admit that you have 3 months of sobriety under your belt, not a year under your belt. So my sister, you've not been honest with yourself about the state of affairs. And that confession to your daughter needs to be made. And then you prove to her, not with your words, but with this day-by-day pattern that Chris is giving you, and true sobriety, long-term under your belt, you prove to her that you're becoming a mother worthy of her trust.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and it's going to have a workbook with it. And I want to encourage you to get to a meeting, not just go to some program, and do whatever it takes to build a foundation of recovery. And I think if you would finally be honest and work the steps, connect with somebody. Don't just say church is enough. Addiction is powerful. It is cunning and it is baffling. And so, you know, there's this old saying, you know, first the person takes the drug, then the drug takes the drug, and then the drug takes the person. Well, there's something else that happens there, too. Not only when we're saying the drug takes the drug, that's the addiction part. Now it's not you choosing anymore, you have to. And then the drug takes the person. Well, I'll tell you what else it takes. It takes all the other people around, too. Destroys relationships, everything. Sucks it all right in and messes it all up. And there's only one way that that ever, ever changes, and that is to come to a place of surrender where I'm willing to do whatever it takes, work with God rather than try to devise my own mechanisms here. All right, let's talk with Johnny. Moorhead, Minnesota is where Johnny's calling from. Hi, Johnny, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you for calling. Thank you for talking to me.
Well, you're welcome. How can we help today?
Yeah. Last summer, I have a 13-year-old granddaughter who lives 1,500 miles from me. And she asked me to take her to the place where I was born and meet my relatives there.
Okay.
She's never met them.
All right.
Life has changed a lot since last summer.
Yes.
COVID life.
Right.
Do you think that it's absolutely... What is the wisdom of taking such an undertaking, such a deal?
Well, yeah, I would say this.
I was born is 400 miles from me. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't you just say to her, I know that I said I was going to do this, but given the COVID virus kinds of things, we're going to have to put this off a year or you know, however long it is. She should be able to accept that, yeah, this is probably not the time to be taking a trip like that, and the trip that's optional probably won't be as enjoyable as if we do it a year from now or 6 months from now or whenever. Well, why wouldn't you just go ahead and just say that to her?
You know, I've talked with my son, and not at length, but, you know, he has the opinion that we should just don't do it.
Well, but you don't feel like that's a very good idea. And so,
I'm scared. I'm scared.
And so you're entitled to say, you know, I just think better to do it another time. You know, when you tell a child something, you want to be a person of your word. Being a person of your word doesn't mean under all circumstances I will fulfill this. Being a person of your word is going back to them and explaining, well, here's why we can't do what I said we'd do, but we'll do it at another time. You're still a person of your word. You're not backing out. It's not reasonable. It's not, well, I disagree with your son. We'll hear from Alice and Chris after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and 1-800-229-3000. So, Chris, Alice, I'm thinking, you know, my thought was, hey, just tell the little girl we'll do it another time. The son is pressuring her. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think the most important thing is, as you were mentioning, is that she's able to assert herself. She's mm-hmm. able to express her desires, say what she wants, say what she yeah. doesn't want, and for that to be respected. This is complicated because it seems like everyone and their mother has an opinion about what is okay and not okay during these times, which there's so much information, so much varying and sometimes contradictory information, that we really do need to make some wise decisions for ourselves and for others and take it moment by moment, day by day in doing that. Obviously, we want to follow the recommendations that are set out before us wherever we live. But again, I just think that, you know, that we not judge people for where they're at and where they want to, how they want to keep themselves safe during this time.
And there's actually a really healthy way of disappointing our family members, letting them down. It's not the worst thing that can happen. It could hurt the granddaughter's feelings. It could upset the son. But being clear about our decision and validating that it is disappointing, it's a letdown, it's too bad that it has to be canceled, but sticking with it while acknowledging the effect that it has on other people, that's a healthy disappointment that this 13-year-old granddaughter can actually benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, and I just want to say to everybody else, you know, you might have felt a little bit of shame in the Christian community saying, well, you know, we're going to have faith or fear. Hey, look. It's not a lack of faith to be cautious in the midst of a pandemic that, especially if you're over 65, seems to really cause you death or, in a lot of cases, or a really bad, crummy illness. So, and anybody that's trying to shame somebody just because you're not afraid, you might not be afraid because you're stupid sometimes. You know, that is an option. If you don't know everything, you know, then like somebody might be playing out in the middle of the freeway and not be afraid. Well, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? So let's don't be judgmental and of anybody that is a little concerned about staying safe during this time. All right, let's go to Beth. How about we talk with Beth here? And she's calling from Boise, Idaho. Wonderful place for anybody to be from. And she listens on KBXL. How you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. How can we help? Yes, we can. We sure can.
Okay, great. I'd like to see if you can direct me to resources, maybe books, whatever, that I can seek out to help with acquiring, I think it might be my voice. Because I have recently erupted in anger, and it was such an eruption, it even took me by surprise.
Well, what is it that that caused you to erupt in anger? What was it?
A misunderstanding. We're building a house, and my husband and I had talked, I thought, extensively about a certain thing that needed to be done with landscaping, and I found out that it was changed, and I just came unglued.
Okay. And so your question for us is how to disagree or be upset without being angry, or?
Well, that's a good one, yes. And I can do that with most everybody. It's crazy. I have a challenge with my husband. It's weird.
Beth, is there a pattern of you and your husband agreeing and then he changes the decision kind of behind your back without consulting you?
Well, I had wondered about that because I am more of a wishy-washy person, and my husband is a perfectionist and very an engineer, and so I have that tendency. I try to speak up, and I do, and sometimes I just put my foot down, and then it's okay, but sometimes I really have a problem with, you know, sharing what I really want and sort of sticking with it. And so I'm the problem.
Okay. You're identifying that really well, Beth. And you don't trust you. You don't trust your desires. You don't trust your wants. And I'm wondering, like, hey, when you had a desire as a kid, who was there to listen to it? When you had a want, or when you had something you didn't want, maybe a harmful pattern, and you tried to speak up as a child, who was there to listen to you?
Nobody.
Exactly. And so take a deep breath, and that's the fear. Even if I do speak up, no one is there to listen. So my desires and my wants don't matter. And what happens over time is we just shut those down. And when we shut down our desires, then we get very confused about what we want or don't want. And is it okay or is it not okay? And we sort of live in that ambiguity and that insecurity until after the quote-unquote injustice happens. Oh, I didn't know this meant so much to me until someone took it away from me. And then all of that requited desire just comes up and explodes.
The other thing I would say is that remodeling has been known to kill many relationships outright.
True.
Remodeling in the midst of a pandemic where you've got all this other kind of unidentifiable or this just kind of a cloud of uncertainty there can really be horrible. So here's the question. I mean, can you repair this with him? Can you say, really sorry that I erupted in anger, but I want to talk about the issue of we come to an agreement and then it isn't followed through on. Is it because of forgetfulness? Is it because of you disagreed but you didn't tell me about it and so you just did it anyway? You need to be able to talk about that. When you can't talk rationally, you know, everybody gets upset from time to time. But if you can't come back and say, I'd like a kind of a do-over here. I'd like to talk without the extremes of anger, not in the moment kind of conversation. If you can't do that, that's where a marriage counselor really, really comes right in. And your original concept of finding your voice, as you said, I thought that was so well said by you. That's how, that's what a counselor, your own counselor, not marriage counselor, but just for you to be with somebody to help you find the appropriate voice. Because, you know, if you're yelling, screaming, you got a voice, but you want the appropriate voice that's reliable and dependable.
Beth, I think it would go a long way to confess to your husband that you know you're indecisive and that that can be frustrating for him. And it's something that you want to work on. And Chris tapped into some old emotion there with his question about your family of origin. Check your memory and share a memory or two with your husband that you realize there are some roots to your indecision back at home base with your family of origin. Let him in on that old pain you have.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And so let's do this. Let me send you How We Love, Milan and Kay Yurkovich's wonderful book. Can't wait for Milan to get back in the studio. He'll be back in soon. But their book is a life changer. And we're going to be teaching from that book at our marriage intensive coming up here. I forget the date, but I can remember it now. In July, Intimacy in Marriage. And that's where these kind of things that are nagging, difficult, boy, we blow the doors off of these kind of conflicts. And I'm telling you, it's kind of mind-boggling how much change can take place. We've got a film crew doing a documentary. They've been to two of these, and they did documentaries on them. And they couldn't believe the people were going to get better when they interviewed them in their homes before they came. So it's phenomenal. And the one in July, of course, is going to be online. We're not doing it face-to-face, so it's never been easier to tap in to this intimacy, intensive wisdom that's there. I speak, Mylon Kay speak, and the clinicians help you figure all this out. I don't know of anything more helpful, less money, more available. Why don't you call right now and find out about it? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the intimacy in marriage intensive, and we cover every area of intimacy. It could change everything for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, we'll be back for our final segment here, but I've got another program we're going to do right after this that you can see on Facebook Live. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Not only are we back, but we have Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. Larry, what did you bring into the studio with you? Hopefully not the the COVID-19 virus, but you brought something else in. What is that?
Well, I have a little testimony here to start us off. Lady writes, my son has a neurological disorder, which is marked by both high unemployment and high-rated depression that can lead to suicide. Further, both my husband and I had to overcome deep childhood wounds of our own to become the parents our son needed. None of this would have been possible without the wise counsel of New Life Ministries. With the help of the phenomenal radio program and a New Life counselor, we forged a strong marriage and a strong parenting partnership based on sound biblical principles. I'm forever grateful to God for putting me in the right place at the right time to hear your program. Please consider the enclosed donation, as well as those made in the past and those to come, as a fraction of the down payment due on a debt of eternal gratitude.
Wow.
Wonderful.
So, love that. Yeah. So, folks, if you can support the work that we do here, that God is doing through this ministry, to allow things like that to happen to people, we need your help. And we have a matching gift right now. We're approaching having that one-third matched. We're at $108,000 matched. It's a $376,000 challenge. Yep. And so any gift you give, if you give five, it's great. If you give 50, 500, 5,000, whatever you give, it will be doubled, and it will be a big help to New Life to continue doing the things we do and watching God do transformational miracles. So
they're happening.
They
and,
are.
We are so thankful for everybody that has supported us. $30 a month, you know, we send you that whole transformational kit there. If you $30 a month, you're part of Club New Life. You get all the benefits that are there. A one-time gift. I'll send you this great little book, 100 Days of Healing. Please call us. Help us if you can. We want you to call us if you need help, too, of course. But when you order, you know, or when you join Club New Life, we send you the Bible, the journal that's there, five workbooks, and it really can help you or somebody that you really care about, especially somebody that, you know, like we've heard here, maybe they've been involved with some kind of program, but they've never really integrated God's word into what they're doing. This will help greatly. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, now, as I mentioned, we're going to do another program after this, 1-800-229-3000, if you want to join that, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to B right now, Fargo, North Dakota, listens on the Internet. Hi there, B. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. What's going on in your life today?
I just had a couple of questions. First, I want to kind of thank you guys for doing your program. It really helped me a lot. I'm 26. I've been in two major relationships in my life, and I've been single from my last one for 5 years. I've been sober and in recovery for 6 years. I've gone through, like, Celebrate Recovery and all their workbooks, and I'm currently, like, kind of going through them, restarting, I guess, the process, because it's okay. Been about 2 years almost. And I was just wondering, how do I date as a Christian? Because it's kind of something I just, like, was focusing on working on myself and not dating. And I have met people who say they're Christian, but they don't, like, go to church, they don't read their Bible, and they kind of, like, passively, I guess, believe in God and Jesus.
Yeah.
But they don't really, like, kind of feel passionate about it, and I don't want to go and be like somebody's maternal figure, or like I don't want to be the judge of someone else's relationship with God, because that's not my place. But
so
I guess, how do I gauge and how? Yeah.
You know, the temptation for hearing someone like yourself you've been through a lot, and you're trying to do it right, and you want to meet somebody that's trying to do it right. Temptation is to say good luck with that, because it can really be frustrating, as you're pointing out. But I'm just wondering, I mean, you live in Fargo, North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
So have you thought about perhaps a Christian dating site or a dating site where you state that you're a Christian, you want to talk to or meet somebody that is a Christian, and then if you're matched or get connected with somebody, you spend enough time on the phone with them to determine whether or not that's really authentic or not. You don't just say, okay, hey, let's get together. You really use the phone. You know, my wife and I, before we ever had a date, we emailed each other, never even talked on the phone for months. We emailed, then we talked on the phone, then we had a date. By that time, she didn't have a choice. She was getting, it was just, you know, we took our time there. And that's how you make those dating sites safe. In Fargo, North Dakota, I don't know how many guys are there that you're describing, but so you've got to increase the pool there that you draw from, and if you do it wisely, it could really turn out to be a good thing. If you do it foolishly, of course, not. And I just hate it when somebody says, well, I met this guy online. He said he was a Christian, and we got married 4 days later. You know, So you don't want that, but you don't have to have that.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do, okay? You need to increase the pool in a safe way. And I want you to identify your top three personal values.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The non-negotiables. Yeah. Like this is where God is leading me in my life, and these things cannot be sacrificed. And then what you'll be looking for is, does the behavior of the person that I'm looking for match these values?
Once you meet that person.
Once you meet that person. So obviously we want their words to match, but ultimately we want their actions to match that.
And share those values with safe female friends that will help hold you accountable will help make sure you don't make decisions out of loneliness, out of sadness, out of fear, but rather healthy decisions.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I don't want to do. And I have been talking to, she's the pastor's wife from my Celebrate Recovery, and like some older lady friends that I've made, and my mom, and as well as like a pastoral counselor, because I had a friend die this past Sunday. He's, 25 from cirrhosis.
Oh.
And and I had my ex, who I haven't talked to in a very long time, randomly like message me. And I honestly believe that it was like the devil using him to distract me in like a really vulnerable state. Message me that like he misses me and he'll do anything. He'll have a relationship with Jesus. He'll move to Bismarck. He'll do whatever it takes. And I just didn't want to make a decision, because I am talking to somebody I did meet online. We have been talking about like what are our core values, and I told him that I don't want to like make a commitment without meeting him, and I don't want to rush into something, because I want to date with purpose, and I want to make sure our values align and that our beliefs.
Now,
and
did
like,
I hear that right? You said you had to say to him, I don't want to make a commitment till I meet you.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't want to like say, because he keeps asking like, am I boyfriend material? Would you consider dating me? And I told him, I said, I'm just friends with you right now. I don't want to make a decision because my friend died and I'm feeling really sad and alone and kind of my world's rocking now. I don't want to say that, yes, I'm going to date you.
Well,
B, you're a breath of fresh air, girl. Yeah.
but he's not, if he's kind of doing it. All right, I'm going to send you, is this the one? I hope you like it. It'll help you with this. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the next program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need to help, call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.